This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's showtime, folks!
So this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime! I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me.
Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys going up until 8 p.m. live from the Fan Run Radio studios. Like I said, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys up until 8 p.m. on a Tuesday, SEC Media Day, that is. Shout out to everyone. Is it Hoover, I believe? Hoover?
Yeah, I believe it is in Hoover.
Let's go. Let's go. Starting off strong right there, getting that one
getting
correct.
Getting the facts right.
Exactly. Getting our facts correct. SEC Media Day down in Hoover. Shout out to everyone in Hoover, especially everyone cladded in that big orange color. Interesting SEC Media Day. I wouldn't say a ton of major takeaways, but still nice to hear Heupel's voice. This is one of the first times I've really seen Heupel speak, especially also Velus Jones and Alante Taylor giving some excellent talking points as well. So get into that. I have an article talking about everything that he said, him being Josh Heupel at SEC Media Day. Break that down a little bit. Sorry, something trending made me laugh, but I don't want to talk about it. I'll tell you during the break. But
okay.
other than getting to that, to start the show, we'll start it how we always do. Tucker, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. Better than I was this morning.
Okay.
As you already know, I had to text you this morning about, what was that, about 8:30 this morning? Real early.
Yeah, right around there.
I was getting up, I was going to go about my day, going to go, work a little day job fun. And I couldn't find my keys. They were gone. They had vanished. I had looked everywhere I knew to look, and they just simply weren't there. I thought, okay, I don't have a car now. I'm going to have to find... I don't have a spare, I don't think. Could be back at home at my dad's, but... he would have had to drive that to me. Would have been a big issue. Probably wouldn't have had a show tonight. I texted you. I said, maybe not having a show.
I would have been okay with. Usually I get a little perturbed if I have to cancel a show, even if it's my fault.
Right.
I still don't enjoy canceling a show, not doing radio.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight would have been very funny if I could have tweeted, no overtime tonight. Tucker can't find his car keys. That would have been very funny.
Yeah, that would have been worth it. I would have I felt like such an idiot. I had to text my boss and be hey, man. I can't find my keys, and I don't know when or if I'll be there. And he was just like, well, find them. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to. I eventually found them.
Where were they?
Just in the last place you look. You know how couches.
That's the first place you look.
Okay, hold on. I did. I looked at the couch, but I gave it the 1-2. Nothing, right? You know how couches on the very bottom have that felt, cloth thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one was on there pretty good. And there was a hole, apparently, in the interior of the couch. For some reason, they built a little pathway down there. There's no way in from the bottom, so I had to make a small incision. My keys weren't there. I had to flip the couch on its top and do surgery to get
surgery
my... Yeah,
on a couch.
I had to get my keys back. That's how my morning started. But the rest of the day's been pretty solid. Went home and
opened
just
sofa surgery.
Yeah. That's, right there in the middle of the living room. I didn't have gloves. I didn't have any antiseptic.
That's not sterile.
No, it was like the Civil War in my living room. I just gave my my couch. I poured a little, you know, whiskey on it just to kind of
douse it down.
Yeah, and then I just went in.
It's fair.
Did what
it's
you
fair.
Had to do.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you were able to find your car keys, get here
yeah.
on time.
Would have felt real stupid.
Yeah, no, I rightfully so too. I definitely would have. Tomorrow's show, if we didn't have a show tonight, that's what we're leading off with, is how big of an idiot Tucker is.
Oh, it would have been a 15-minute segment on just how stupid.
Oh,
I was.
Yeah, I would have written jokes. Like,
but now I'm a genius because I performed surgery with no assistance.
No,
we can't spin it that way.
Still, let your car's your couch eat your car keys.
I don't know how something like that even happens or why. There's even a possibility for that to happen. Sew up that hole. What are we doing?
That's you.
No, that doesn't fall
it's
on the owner.
Sew the hole up.
I would have
there preemptively.
I'm sure it was.
I'm sure
it was not
a special little like car key sucking package.
No, but it was
like,
not.
Yeah, these car keys, they're gonna get sucked down.
It was a natural hole. It was not torn. It was there.
Just
original.
Natural wear and tear?
No, I believe they made it with the. They didn't take the time to make it sealed off, which I believe every good couch maker should do. Everyone would agree with me. The TV remote, the keys, your cell phone, everything can end up down that hole. I'm gonna have to be careful on my couch now.
Yeah,
that's the life I'm gonna have to live because I know what can happen.
Very sorry. But speaking of like home issues and stuff like that, I moved in.
Yeah, that's awesome.
First time. We didn't talk about it yesterday. We kind of, I don't remember what we talked about, but we brushed over it because we got distracted. But yeah, first time.
Us get distracted?
Yeah, never. Really? Never. But no, first time out of the house for like an actual, like I moved over the pandemic, but from my mom's house to my grandma's house.
Right.
So that wasn't really that big of a change.
No.
That's just moving from one childhood home to the next childhood home. So I finally actually moved out. Got out, not on my own, have a roommate, have to share a house with someone, but that's going to happen. That's bound to happen.
You'll have that sometimes in this economy.
Take the natural precautions you do when you're moving, you know, like you scope out the roads prehand. Like I did a couple of trips down there to make
take a couple cruises down there.
Yeah, just make sure I know the routes, get accustomed with the area, because it's Sono. I'm not used to the Sono area. That's one of the few areas. Like downtown, I'm vaguely familiar with. South Knoxville, I've never been to, so like I was very unfamiliar until recently where I've kind of got myself a little bit more trained. I did grocery shopping for the first time.
Ooh.
Just like very basic things you do. I peed on everything I owned in the house so I could mark my own territory.
So that your roommate doesn't get confused.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
well, if they pee on your stuff before you can pee on yours,
then it's his. Like,
then it's his.
That's fair. Like he peed on the roof of the house. We know whose name is on the deed, right?
That's fine.
Like that's how it goes.
Whatever.
Yeah, no. If anything smells like urine, it's mine. If anything doesn't smell like urine, it's everybody's. Like that's how the process of
communal,
moving into a home is like. But no, it's nice to get out of the house. It feels weird. I don't want to say like an adult, but
more
almost,
adult.
Yeah, more adult.
You feel more mature.
Like I'm definitely not a man or an adult anywhere close. Like I'm still.
You're in that you know that kind of floating purgatory period.
Like I'm still a baby.
Okay.
Like, there's a couple of choice words I can describe myself as, but I can't say I'm on radio type deal. Like that.
They don't let you say those kind of unsavory things.
Exactly. That's the type of person I am still. So I won't call myself a man.
Right.
But you know. Learning.
took another step.
Exactly.
We could, you know, say that.
I realize I hate downtown driving as much as I hate interstate driving.
Downtown driving is worse than interstate driving.
Oh, 100%.
I hate driving downtown.
It's a little,
in any city.
It's a little less worse because it's stop and go instead of just full on
speed. You're not going to, you know, flip.
Exactly. It intimidates me more with the speed. I can do a fender bender. I can't do exactly flipping or going up in the air, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But no.
Most people wouldn't prefer to do such a thing.
No, most people normally would choose the latter.
Yep. But are you adjusting well? Are you you having to do that more often?
Yeah. I mean, that's
you're just scared the whole time.
Today I almost wrecked.
Okay.
There was a person who is I'm still unfamiliar with the area. Like I said, and there's a little bit of construction, some cones and such up where lanes are closed that I just don't know yet on some of these routes, or forgetting about because I haven't driven them enough times and stuff like that.
Right.
And there was someone just. Right up in my butt cheeks, just
they'll do that,
like straight up in the hole.
Yeah,
like a baseball player that's third up, not on deck, not in the batter's circle, but in the hole.
Yep,
they were straight up in the hole, just waiting, and I just couldn't do anything. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna get over, let them get out of my butt cheeks, and let them go ahead and get on where they need.
They
to
follow
go.
You?
No, I got over, and then that lane ended as soon as I got over because there's a bunch of cones and stuff. So then I have to get back over, and then as I'm getting back over, I'm checking over my blind spot and I have to turn onto Western Avenue. So the turn lane is there's usually two lanes. It's now one lane farthest to the right and you got to go over across three lanes in a very narrow stretch of like cones and white things and stuff like that.
You drove through an obstacle course on the way here.
I cannot expressed how close I was.
Did you make an audible noise?
No. I was fine. I was fine. I kept it calm because if anybody saw me, I wanted them to think I did it on purpose.
Right.
But like, I cannot express how close I was to knocking out like 9 cones. Like the turn radius on a Toyota Camry, phenomenal. Apparently,
you just whipped that thing
on a dime.
Okay.
On a dime.
There you go. I have to drive through a lot of cones lately on my way to work, and it just infuriates me every time. Because with the little dash lines, you know, you got a 2-lane, mm-hmm. you know, and the little dash line right there in the middle, that is the divider, you know. You have a perfectly nice, even lane. What they would do is the lane that you would have to drive in, because the other one's closed, they would put it like a full cone's length inside the lane with traffic coming directly at you.
Now
so
you
I had
no
to have
room.
I had to have a tire across the middle line. I almost got into 10 head-on collisions the other day.
That's bumper swapping right there.
It's terrifying. I'm not a fan of it.
No, neither am I. Neither am I. But you know what I am a fan of?
What?
Josh Heupel and this Tennessee team. At least I think so.
I mean, I'm coming around. I'm not an enemy of this team.
For sure.
I don't dislike this team at all.
No longer apathetic to Tennessee football. I think I got a little bit more spirit in me about it.
I saw the orange today on the TV behind you while you were doing the intro. And, you know, it got the blood flowing a little bit, you know?
It did. But no, Josh Heupel, I wouldn't say, like, overly impressed, but definitely didn't do anything to hurt himself.
Exactly. Like, that's all you got to do.
Self-preservation is the finest thing you can do at Tennessee, and he's starting on a very, very good note of self-preservation. Not really stepping in it too much. I didn't see anything that people were like, man, he shouldn't have said this, or he should have said this instead. Like, there was just, like, okay, that's that. Like, that was the main takeaway, I feel like, on Vol Twitter was, okay. Like that, I feel like, was the main takeaway from everyone's opinion on the SEC
and
media
feel,
day.
I mean, that's kind of what you want, right? Like, I don't need him to go out there and be, you know, a Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin, someone out there just, you know, saying crazy stuff and, you know, being all funny and ha-ha. Mm-hmm. I don't really care. Go win football games. And I think that's kind of his attitude. I like some of the stuff he said today, you know, talking about the program and how he plans to sell it and things like that. I think he's done all right. He doesn't sound stupid. You know, we can't make jokes talking about how dumb he is. At least not yet. I mean, whenever, you know, his in-game decisions, that can change. But as of right now, day one, we're not going, yeah, I like to play football.
No, he's not a slow talker. He's not a monotone gump, as many people were tweeting out. But he's not the best public speaker. Like, dude.
Don't have to be.
No, I don't care. For sure not. But, like, in terms of, like, stupidity, dude missed a lot of words, messed up a lot of words, and I'm not one to speak. This is not an insult. This is just a statement of fact. Like, he messed up a lot, but he was able to get through it perfectly.
He's better than the last one we had.
Exactly. 100% agree with you on that, but he's not – he didn't over wow me with his speeches, but I like I said, I wasn't deterred or like, oh, man, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Like, he seems to know what he's talking about. It was very interesting breakdown. Did you have anything that jumped out to you at all? Because I got a ton of quotes in front of me. It's literally an article that literally says everything Josh Heupel said at SEC Media Day. So I have, I think, every quote in front of me.
Okay.
So it's going to be hard to go through those pretty quickly. So
I liked what he talked about. You know, it's not a huge thing, but you know, it does help with recruiting as much as people, you know, want to say it doesn't or whatever, want to be traditionalist. Mm-hmm. He brought about you know, alternate uniforms and, you know, trying to recruit, you know, the future and stuff like that. I like his mentality of who cares, let's go win football games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever will get talent here, we'll do it. And he, you know, he kind of just seems like he wants to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's not doing too much. He's just like Pruitt, he was a traditionalist.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll see a little difference there.
My favorite quote just from the opening statement, and there was a lot of good ones that I could take away from, but the one that I really enjoyed because it's more about the new age downfall of college football. You know the way that they're going to ruin all of everything we love, Tucker, how they're going to take college football away from us.
Okay.
It's kind of on that note, but I enjoyed the quote. Here it is. And they get an opportunity to do it from the moment they step foot on campus. There's not a place in America – or not a better place in America to do that than Knoxville, talking about the bringing awareness to athletes and top five in every social media platform. You look at the followership, you look at the city of Knoxville itself within the league and one of the most prominent cities. You look at the national worldwide headquarters that are located in Tennessee or in Knoxville. It's a special place to come play college football, and everything and anything that you want to do in the game and or outside the game has been done at Tennessee and will be done again.
I like that. I like that. He's saying the right things. Mm-hmm. He's saying the right things. He's definitely done enough in the offseason to not worry me at all.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I there's a little bit of worry just because of has nothing to do with Josh Heupel.
Mm-hmm.
That worry is going to be there regardless of if Nick Saban jumped ship and came to coach. I'd be like, well, we'll find a way to screw it up. You know, it's that worry is going to happen regardless of anybody.
Yes.
But he's done nothing to worsen my fears.
No, not at all. Not at all.
He's calmed me a little bit at times.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I'm never taking the cup off.
It's like a hug from your dad.
Right. You have your guard up.
Yeah.
But you're like, this is nice.
Exactly. You're not going to get an I love you, but like you'll get a pat on the back and a good word.
And then, but as he lets go, you're getting punched.
Yeah, 100%.
Somewhere, and you don't know.
Nut tap, maybe. Depends on how close you are with your dad, how young your dad is, maybe.
Yeah.
He also was talking about the transfer portal. When talking about the transfer portal, he said, obviously, our SID and I had a bet on what was going to be the first question. I tried to hedge off the transfer portal before it got started, but I'm glad you came right back to it. He's addressing how the first question was about the transfer portal, as everything will be talking about NIL or transfer portals for the most part with all of these coaches' interviews. Obviously, our roster changed. By the time I got here in late January, there were a large number of kids in the transfer portal. At the same time, we've been able to add really quality individuals inside our program. We love the player, but we love the person too and what they're bringing as far as the culture piece inside our program. Some of the kids we've had relationships with, whether it's coaching or being, whether it was a coach being at a previous school and knowing them every day, or through myself or other staff members who had recruited them coming out of high school. So I feel really good about what we've added. A majority of the guys we really feel like are going to play meaningful snaps right from the get-go when we kick off in September. A handful or a couple of those guys, I should say, are guys they'll have to earn it, like they all will, but guys are going to develop in our program. I think it's for us long term. The benefits of the eight pieces that we've added here after spring brawl is a majority of those guys have multiple years and will be able to help our roster as we move forward. So talking about the offseason moves with the transfer portal, did address that a lot of guys left, but he's comfortable with the pieces that he added.
Yeah, we added a lot of decent talent. I mean, no absolute superstars, but a lot of guys that you look at and you're like, you know, you can actually do something with, you know, a level of that talent. If you have a team full of the guys that we've had transfer in, you have a pretty solid team. You might not have a national championship team, but you've got an average football team.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's where we're trying to get right now. You know, you can't make that jump overnight. And he's trying to make chicken salad out of chicken crap, I would say. And he's trying his best.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited, though. I mean, a lot of these guys coming in, you know, like what he said, they can come in and, you know, contribute immediately. We're going to see these new names on the field.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. One of them was Javonte Payton, a wide receiver from Mississippi State. Josh Heupel talked about him when asked what kind of player he can be for you this fall. Just watching him, strength and condition, he's fast, he's explosive, he's got a natural set of hands. I really feel like he's got an opportunity to compete and earn a spot and be a big difference maker for us this fall. He's experienced, and I think that's important to just that wide receiver room. So getting good experience, getting guys who he likes in the rooms that benefits the culture. Like, that's what we talked about for the longest time, was the negative aspects of the culture, regardless of if that was the fan base's fault, the culture itself's fault, if it was just the players we had gotten in, if it was just the staff. There was no real, I'm trying to think of the phrase, something to put your thumb on. Like, there was no real, like, deciding piece that was like, this is why everything went downhill with the culture and the negativity and everything. But everything played into itself, and he seems like he's getting the guys. And that's what people are going to say. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm going to believe every single word Josh Heupel says, not calling him a liar. But
I believe that he believes it.
But coach speak is coach speak, and you got to read through the lines sometimes. But like, I think he does believe that there is a culture shift at hand.
Yeah.
Was there anything that you wanted to hear that you didn't hear? Any questions that you wanted to ask that you didn't ask? Obviously, you're at work, so I'm assuming you didn't watch the press conference or anything like that. But if there was one question you could have asked to Heupel, what would have been, I guess, is a better question.
I mean, he wouldn't answer it.
Well,
I'd look him dead in the face and say, right now, who's your starter quarterback? Right now. Just not at the beginning of the season, man. Hey, take it easy. Just right now, to the like last practice. Who ran with the ones? That would probably, that's the only thing I'm really, really interested in about mm-hmm. this football team. That's the major story in my head. Besides Heupel's first year, it's about how he's going to manage this quarterback situation. Because, I mean, if you look, and we've said this a million times, and I'm going to say it a million times until either we have a quarterback come out there and be amazing, and it'll be like, look, I was right, or we're going to, you know, whatever. But if you look at his track record with quarterbacks his entire time in the college world, he's put out studs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is a quarterback developer.
Even last year with Dylan Gabriel yes. coming out of nowhere and being a top five, I believe top five
He was
passer.
The offensive player that that conference, was he
yeah,
not?
He was
or
fantastic
conference player of the year,
year,
something like that. And I mean, everybody he has had, I don't think he's just been lucky and had a ton of good quarterbacks thrown upon mm-hmm. him. And I think he's got a quarterback room filled with guys with skill sets that if he is as good of a coach as his track record would lend it to himself to be, one of these guys are going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, and there was he had his SEC Media Day performance, and then afterwards he went and sat down. I can't remember the names of the guys. I think it was Greg McElroy and someone else who were hosting like the SEC Network show at Media Day. And there was a little talk about who the quarterbacks were going to be, and he obviously didn't say anything, but he talked about the competition. He also talked about the competition during SEC Media Day. The question was asked, you played the quarterback position at a high level. You were an impact transfer for Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. I know you evaluate the position thoroughly. Talk about adding Joe Milton III, and what did you see out of your quarterbacks this spring, such as Harrison Bailey, that made you want to add to the quarterback room this season? Josh Heupel then just responded with, competition is the greatest friend that any coach has. You have to have it in that room. It's going to drive the players inside of it when you're not around. To me, Joe's got a unique skill set, a strong arm, accurate passer. I think he's a very bright young man that's picked up on what we've done so far really well. He's talented. He can spread the football field from sideline to sideline and vertically, and has a unique skill set with his size and mobility to use his feet as a weapon. So, I mean, obviously the question was addressed to Joe Milton, but he focused very yes. in on Joe Milton in that answer,
yeah,
none on Harrison Bailey.
There's been a lot of speculation that Joe Milton will be the guy strictly because he was brought in after spring, I believe. Spring had already started.
Yeah,
spring it wasn't sprung. Over, but it had started. We were already in spring practice, I believe. And he said, I need one more guy. It's Joe Milton. He brought in Joe Milton. That's led a lot of people to believe that he's going to be the guy. And he very well could be. Like, he's very good. He's... you know, one of the three that I think have an actual shot. I mean, I think right now anyone would say it's probably in no particular order. Harrison Bailey, Hendon Hooker, and him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty much it. So,
you don't think Brian has a shot?
I mean, they've all got a shot, I guess. It's just, the other guys just seem more, like, just raw, when it comes to raw talent, and he may want it more, and that could get him the job. I mean, you saw Juwan Jennings, you know, he wasn't the fastest guy on the football field, but heart can get you a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if Brian Maurer and you, the way he plays football, I mean, he plays pretty fiery, and, you know, plays with passion, that could get him a starting job. It's just when I look at raw talent, and it's, you know, in different ways, Harrison Bailey could have an absolutely elite arm. If the right coach gets a hold of him, he could be a truly elite passer, just given his frame and the way that he throws the ball and his accuracy, you just got to get him to do it in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Hendon Hooker looks, his highlights from Virginia Tech
yeah.
looks very akin to Josh Dobbs.
Did you also see him throw three interceptions to a true freshman, Wake Forest?
I have. Okay. I've seen those. Everybody's had a bad game before. I'm not saying he's amazing. I'm not saying he is Josh Dobbs. I'm just talking play style.
No, I got you. I was just when you started talking about his highlights, I was like, you should probably also check out the lowlights if
right.
you want to get a full scope.
Right, right,
on
right.
Him.
Everybody's got him.
No,
but
for sure, for
right
sure.
Right now, I will say, if you compared where I feel confidence wise in our quarterback, you know, just area this year versus going into last year, I feel a lot better.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that has to do with who is at the head coaching position.
Yes.
Because we will probably see something different.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not at the beginning of the season, if he rolls out, let's say Hendon Hooker is the starting guy. We'll just go with that name because that's the last name we said. Hendon Hooker rolls out the starting guy. I'd like to believe, I really do think so, that if stuff isn't going right,
he would change.
Heupel's not afraid to make the change because he knows, like, I think he knows that's what was the biggest downfall last season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, call Tennessee fans stupid if you want, but I really am convinced that if Pruitt just made the switch way earlier in the season and didn't look back and just let go of Garantano, he might, maybe, real big maybe, had a shot at returning. Obviously, that leads into if we win any more games, the performance in other games, and how that all plays out. Because it wasn't a good football team to begin with. Like, we weren't a good football team. It wasn't just Garantano's fault. But the main thorn in his size.
magnified it.
Yes, yes. He magnetized himself to Garantano. He wouldn't let him stop getting stuck. I mean, it was just that was the biggest thorn in his side. I really do believe that we probably could have put off doing an internal investigation because the big talk of the town when the investigation happened was the only reason we're doing this is to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So I don't like to think that's a terrible thing to say because I don't want Pruitt here still. But I think that if he would have gotten rid of Garantano earlier, maybe has a shot at still he might have been talking today at SEC Media Day. Clad in orange.
He may have. I mean, it's just so frustrating to sit down and watch your team and see a position with, you know, what we had four last
options.
Year.
And maybe not even four viable options, but the number one option wasn't viable either.
At all. And you're, with your, you know, average person eyes, are able to look and go, hey, something needs to be changed here. And every week, it's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You saw it every week. He would trot out there and you go, well, this is going to end poorly. And it did. Every time, it never let you down. That's why he's out. If he changes and we still lose, at least you could be like, well, he's trying. He just doesn't have the talent
A small glimmer of hope.
It just showed that he's... It's pretty stupid.
Yeah, 100%.
Pretty stupid.
100%. If I could have asked one question, I think it probably would have been, I tweeted this and it only got 2 likes. I did have a good tweet today, so I'm fine with this one only getting 2 likes. But someone should have asked him if we're bringing back third down for what. That's the main kicker.
We can't do it, Will.
We can't.
That's attached to Butch Jones.
I know.
Oof.
But I don't, I like my 12-year-old brain loves that.
The only time I would allow that is if we could somehow, like, next season, schedule Arkansas State.
That would be sick. And then do third down for
what?
Do
third down for what and beat them by 65.
I like that.
That'd be fun.
I like that.
That'd be fun.
I will say before we hit a break, actually, the questions at SEC Media Day are quite possibly the most boring thing of all time.
Yeah, they're not going to tell you anything. It's all just theater.
Well, we didn't even get an MFK or a Would You Rather or anything fancy. No truth or dares were out there.
No
good questions. It was just, hey, coach, you coached at this place and this place. How is that going to impact you coaching at this place?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why don't you ask him, would he have accepted an invitation with Bezos in space? See what he says then. You know, like ask him some real hard-hitting journalistic questions.
They do. Nate needs to send me and you to SEC Media Day next year.
Next year.
Can we actually, because we would do amazing.
What's the worst thing that happens? We get kicked out for asking good
questions?
I just
get up there and I'm like, Kirby, over here, Fox Sports Knoxville. What's your biggest fear? Huh?
I remember I got kicked out of math class because the first day we were asking questions around the class. This is sophomore year geometry. I raised my hand and asked my math teacher what her favorite number was. I was like, as a math teacher, what's your favorite number?
I assume you've got one.
Everyone has one.
I asked one of my teachers, math teachers, that same question, and she gave me a real number that was like one of the biggest numbers you could even possibly imagine.
I got you.
So I thought that was cool.
No, that would be cool. But no, I think it would be fun to go down to SEC Media. Like, hey, Kirby, will you swallow me whole like the Super Mario's Kirby?
Can you inhale me? Hey, Kirby, over here. Kirby.
More overtime next. Overtime. Fan on Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys.
Whoa.
Live from the Fan on Radio studios, going up until 8 p.m., hour one, rolling right along. You see where Georgia's projected? It's on the TV right now. 9.9 wins this season. 9.9. I don't think I've ever seen a 9.9 before.
That is a little weird. Yeah, that must be nice. To have that be your like your expectation? Just going into a season, they're like, gah. I mean, I'm not looking at it any other way. They don't get 9. Probably 10, you know?
Did you see the...
God, I hate these people.
I think it was Big T, I think, maybe.
Okay.
He tweeted out, it was the graphic that said Tennessee, it was like the chances to win SEC East. It was Georgia at like 90%. Florida at like 30% and 40% apiece or whatever.
Are we like above the other bums or no?
We were the only bum on the graphic. I don't know why they had to do us like that.
Yes.
1%.
At least we made the graphic. There's a chance.
They needed a fourth team on the graphic, and so they threw they were like none of these other bums could feasibly make it.
They were like, just change the numbers because everybody else got 0. Just give a percent from Kentucky to Tennessee. That's where we're at right now. Like getting their percent.
Yeah. No, it's like rounding up your order to support a firefighter for like that extra 30 cents just to make you look like a good person. I think I mentioned that on air yesterday. Same thing. Like the SEC media was just trying to make them feel good with Tennessee. They're like, round it up. Put them on the graphic. Go ahead.
Know, throw them a bone.
Get them clicks.
I mean, you're telling me there's a chance that I'm starting to get hype. Exactly. If you, I'll join on the hypel train.
Exactly.
1%, that's not bad. I mean, hey, it's better than I thought you would have given us, you know? That's more than I'd give us. I mean, we're in the fight. We're in the batter's box. Let me take a swing.
Speaking of 1%, Bryce Young's $1 million that he could be approaching in contract deals is almost 1% of Nick Saban's contract. I can't speak.
Almost 1%.
It's not. That's a little over-exaggerated.
I was about to say, but Nick is making close to...
$1 billion.
Yeah, but he's over that. Is he not like $10 million a year
close,
or more?
Close, probably.
It's up there.
I'm not sure.
It's a lot.
But Bryce Young.
Probably even more than that.
Bryce Young, Nick Saban said he's making, quote, ungodly numbers.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Nick thinks that's a crazy amount. Yeah. He's getting close to $1 million.
Ungodly. This kid with all his numbers could be the Antichrist.
Do you know what deals he has?
You said
this is Bryce Love?
Bryce Young.
Bryce Love is the Penn State guy that I'm thinking of.
That's Saquon Barkley.
There was another guy named Love, was there not?
Bryce
Love. Penn State?
Maybe, but Bryce Love was the running back that followed up after Christian McCaffrey was supposed to be the next great thing. And
that's
then
it. Okay.
Injured his ankle.
You're right.
No, I know I'm right.
I confused the two. I've done this before on air.
That's why I tried to explain it to you, but you... convince me otherwise.
It's okay.
But speaking of being confused, Nick Saban, one of those human beings, seemed a little confused when talking about everything, but he said Bryce Young is approaching. Total compensation is almost 7 figures, quote, and it's like, the guy hasn't even played yet, Saban said, according to The Athletic, quote, but that's because of our brand.
But that's because of our brand. They told him to start using that word more often.
Yeah.
That is crazy, though. He really hasn't played yet at all. Made $1 million. Yeah, but that's also due to the fact that he is going to be really good.
Or at least people are hoping.
Most likely.
Yeah.
I do think that's a little bit nuts to get that crazy. But that's not one deal. I mean, he's got to deal with Cash App. I know that. And he didn't get all that, you know.
Yeah, no one's handing out $1 million by itself
to this kid. His agent is the one out here putting in work.
Oh yeah. You got to. Like when you
especially
now that college kids can use agents and help with their marketability, it really does help.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I would say about that, I think it definitely helps. I bring back the grit tweet that was a while ago where people were all talking about the death of college sports with the payment aspect of it. I mean, it is a good idea to let kids see money and experience wealth before they experience an actual ungodly amount of wealth when they get to the
good
NFL.
Transition period.
Because like so many guys, you see the story, like Delonte West, for an example, was an NBA, I don't want to say superstar, but an NBA player, a star, was on teams that were good and people knew his name, and he ended up being homeless because he couldn't rely on his money because he just had so many issues with spending and different things like that. Like, it is good to give these kids educational tools, but I will say I would not be surprised, and this happens all the time regardless, and it was happening before they got paid, but kids are going to start getting taken advantage of with the agents stealing some, skimming some off the top, but that's how the world works. Kids were already getting taken advantage of by not being paid in the first place.
Yes. They did what you were talking about, you know, agents getting taking advantage of these kids. There is one thing that the NFL like has kind of floated. The Players Association, I don't know, you know, exactly if they have power here, but they're
probably in disarray right now with one of their chairmen being in court, Richard Sherman, still dealing with all of that stuff. So probably hard to get things done.
They said that an NIL contract should not include any terms that require or condition any NIL terms on the player later hiring that contract advisor for NFL contract services. So we're saying pretty much like the agent can't be like, okay, I'll be your agent now, but I have to, you know, sign this that says I'm your agent when you get to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no long-term deals. I like that. I like that. No one getting sucked into
anything. These guys are still young.
Exactly, exactly. You got to let them have their time in the sun and experience different things. It would be really messed up if a guy signed with a guy, didn't like him, and had to stay with him. Like that, there's a reason divorce was invented. You know what I mean? Like there's easy way out to these things. You can just call it quits.
Exactly.
Dabo. Now, I believe ACC Media Day was today. I could be wrong, but there were quotes from Dabo, which I was assuming was coming from their Media Day. There was a couple of Media Days today, so I'm assuming. Could be wrong, but Dabo had some quotes.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, yeah, but Dabo had some quotes. He had two quotes I wanted to talk about. One, it's a little political because it talks about the vaccine. You have to give that trigger warning to everyone out there who gets upset when talking about the vaccine on either side. But Dabo Swinney says he's got the vaccine in March, says he wishes he could have say the whole team is vaccinated, but they're not there. Quote, I don't know a single doctor that said don't get it. So Dabo looking to get his guys shot up. And have that competitive advantage that is being vaccinated. So he's looking into that. But the main quote that people were really running with and seeing and looking at, talking about the playoff, Dabo Swinney, I wouldn't consider it, the tweet says he sounded off on playoff expansion. I wouldn't go that far. Didn't hear the words, only read the words, so I could be wrong. This could have been an angry Dabo comment, and I'm reading it as nice Dabo comment. Yeah, exactly.
He sounded like a drill sergeant.
Yeah, there's no exclamation points in this, but the graphic is written in all caps, so it's hard to tell. You know what I mean?
Right.
But talking about the playoff, our team isn't for it. They don't want to play more games. And to be honest with you, I don't think there's 12 teams good enough when talking about the expansion. He did, however, mention, though, that he thinks the 12 teams is inevitable. He thinks it's like Thanos. He thinks that 12 teams is coming regardless of if it's this year with the new this meeting with the newest expansion, or if this expansion leads to the next. He thinks 12 teams is inevitable. So I want to get your thoughts on that. A, do you think 12 teams is too much because there's not 12 teams good enough, like we talked about this a little bit? And do you also think that 12 teams is inevitable? I think an expansion is inevitable, but you think 12 teams is inevitable? You know what I'm saying. I can't say that word. I don't feel like saying that word another time.
Sure. I do believe 12 was probably inevitable. It was going to get to that point, you know, eventually.
Yeah, 12 is Thanos. It's inevitable.
Yes, but I think going from 4 to 12 could be a big jump, like from, you know, one thing to the other. I think, you know, maybe going from 4 to, you know, 8 or something like that would have been a decent little, you know, you try that. If people are still mad, then okay, we'll go 12. I may agree with him. I mean, I don't know if 12 teams are good enough to win a national championship, but you may see a team in the top 10 get hot. I mean, it's a little different to get hot in football. That's not so much a thing, but you can just start playing really good football late and just not have enough time to climb back up in the rankings, which we see all the time. Teams lose, you know, week 4, they'll lose a game or something like that, and then they'll drop and then have to, you know, a top 15 team loses week 4.
That's Texas A&M's specialty.
Yes. And then fight back, and, you know, near the end of the season, they're right there. Maybe they've got a shot. You know, maybe they actually were. They just had a bad game in week 4. Mm-hmm. Something like that. That could happen and probably will.
See, I like the idea, if you expand the playoff, to not make the top teams play more games. Add more incentive for the top teams. Like Dabo's quote says, like, our team is against it, and the main reason he puts out, like, this could not be the main reason they're against it, but the main reason he lays out in this quote is saying that his team doesn't want to play more games. Well, if A, Dabo, if you're a 6 seed, you're probably going to have to play more games if you're in the playoff. Like, that's just how it's going to be in my idea. But if you're 1 through 4, say we add 8.
That's what I was going to say.
If you're 1 through 4, you get that bye week, and the 4 teams that made the bottom pile go ahead and make it in, and then you get seeded after all the winners. Like, you get reseeded after the winners, and the worst team that won plays the number 1 seed, the second worst team plays the number 2 seed,
and so on. Or 1 through 4 get just automatic to the semifinal.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they get a bye week. 4 teams.
They get 2 bye weeks. If 12 or 1 and 2, is the way I would do it.
Oh, okay, with 12, yes. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if we were going with 8.
Okay.
2 teams get 2 byes, 2 teams get 1 bye, 4 teams play.
Right. Yeah.
I don't hate that idea at all. A nice little, it's almost soccery.
That would be the way to do it. I mean, because otherwise, what's the point of not resting your starters if you're pretty undefeated and you don't think you're going to slide out of the top 8 or the top 12 even? You know, what's the point of starting your quarterback that last week?
No, it's a very good point.
You know, what are those few spots worth? I think you would have to kind of put some sort of, you know, stipulation on, you know, where you fall in the seeding.
And I do think that having to play more games is a talking point that should be mentioned. Like, I do think players playing more games, like that just, like, regardless of what you think, 100% of a fact, more games equals more injuries. Now, it's not 100% going to happen, but the more football you play, the more likelihood you are to get injured. That's
probability.
Just, exactly. Like, that's just math.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is something to be talked about.
That is, I believe, why this deal for the NILs just got who cares?
Name, image, likeness.
Yeah,
NIL.
Name, image, likeness. NIL. I'm pretty sure that's why that got passed. Is so, you know, because the first thing you can do whenever they came out with this was, you know, the guys who aren't getting paid are being asked by the guys making millions of dollars to play more games and put their bodies at risk. Well, now you still have that argument because they're not making salary. They're not making a ton of money. Some aren't, but they've kind of thrown that little bone out there to where, you know, you go to do that argument and they're like, well, hey, we're working on that. You just saw the... So, I mean, this was all planned. This is happening.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is happening 100%.
For sure. And speaking of happening, more overtime will be happening after this break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Fanon Radio, final segment of Hour 1. A quick one here. Hour went by pretty fast when talking about actual things, you know?
We're actually getting sports.
Exactly. It's weird. Cool. It's weird. Speaking of sports, a very scary moment in Florida. As a man, I believe, I could be wrong, but a fallen bicyclist attacked by an alligator at a Florida park.
Oh, no. Did it get him? Like, did he get caught? Is he alive? Does he have his legs? Does he have his arm? Like, is he okay?
A 9-foot alligator attacked man. They forgot the A. That's funny. Attacked man. At a Florida park after he fell into water while riding a bike, authorities said. The attack happened at Halpatioke Regional Park in Stewart at about 11 a.m. Monday, left the bicyclist, whose name wasn't immediately released, with serious injuries, according to the Martin County Sheriff's Office. The female alligator bit the man after he lost control of his bike and fell about 6 feet down an embankment into a body of water.
Oh.
He was able to break free from the beast before crawling away and being helped by a bystander, authorities said.
Oh, my God.
Video released by the agency shows the man on a stretcher being led to a hospital or being led to a helicopter waiting to take him to the hospital. Other photos showed a body, a bloodied walkway. And the large reptile being corralled by a trapper who was responding to the scene. Two alligators were also later pulled from the water and had their mouths taped shut.
I don't know how people live down there with dinosaurs. Dinosaurs just roaming, walking around, untethered, unfenced.
It's always the prettiest areas that have the most things that can kill you.
Yeah.
Like, Australia is gorgeous desert and really pretty views. Like, Sydney is gorgeous.
Everything kills you.
But shark-infested waters all around it.
Jellyfish.
Kangaroos, rattlesnakes.
Scorpions.
I mean, you got the koala bear. Koala bears kill almost as much people as anything else
there. They'll give you the clap.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not a good place. Florida, the fact that you can go to a golf course, and I mean, there's millions of videos. Every time the PGA Tour goes to a Florida golf course, there's a gator there, and they're big, and they just walk around, and they don't care what you're doing.
And that's not the only dinosaur, because they also have pythons everywhere.
Big ones. Down there in the Everglades.
They're coming out the toilet biting people on butt cheeks.
It's honestly Jurassic Park. Yeah. I don't know why people live there.
No, neither do
I. It's terrifying.
I will say, as someone who doesn't like bicyclists, like, at least thank you for riding on an off-road course, taking it away from the streets, not inconveniencing me. I appreciate that. This
really but now you see what happens, Will. Next time, you're like, get out of here!
Okay, but what's worse? Getting a little nibbled on the upper thigh by an alligator?
Nibbled.
Or getting hit by a car because you're in the middle of the street?
I think the car.
Probably?
I'll take my chances with the car.
Like, would you rather a gator or a ram? Like, that's the real question here. You know what I mean?
Ram. Give me the ram. I'll go ram 3 days out of the week. Or 7 days out of the week. Twice on Sunday.
You may never forget how to ride a bike, but I guarantee you this person will definitely never forget this bike ride. He's going to remember this one for a while. This literally is the definition of insult to injury. like he already fell off his bike.
And then a gator tried to eat him.
Like, this is one of those like stories or jokes that your dad tells where it just keeps like everything keeps on coming. Your granddad around the fire just like, and then this happened. And then I fell off my bicycle. And then a gator came out of nowhere. Like that's this type of story.
That's a tough day. Mondays, am I right?
More overtime next. Hour two, overtime, live from the Fan Run Radio Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, in here with you guys, going up until 8 p.m. Like always, like I said, hour two starting live from the Fan Run Radio Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, in here with you guys. And Tucker, I got a question for you.
Yes, William?
Do you have a photogenic house?
Like,
would you take pictures in front of your house?
Probably not. I live in an apartment, and it looks like all the other apartments. We don't have any patio furniture out front like some of the other neighbors do. We're hermits.
Yeah, I got you. I understand that.
So, no.
No, you wouldn't. See, I don't think I have a photogenic house either.
Okay.
But a lady in Wales apparently has a very photogenic home. Woman can't get into pink home due to influencers taking selfies. Apparently, a very photogenic home has a Wales woman not being able to get into her own home.
That would piss me off to no end.
A woman who wanted to brighten her block by painting her home pink now says, quote-unquote, influencers are using the property as a backdrop for their social media selfies. Cardiff resident Elrie Morgan, who bought the property in 2018, decided to paint her home from the drab beige to a lively pink during lockdown. After years of renting, where everything has to be white walls and brown carpets, it felt like a bit of freedom being able to live in a colorful house, the 32-year-old comedian and yoga instructor told Wales Online. However, these days, Morgan can hardly enjoy her flamingo pink facade for all the influencers milling out front. Quote, they wouldn't know to tag me, so I get messages from my friends saying, why is there a picture of your house on social media? She tweeted out, this is my home. I painted it bright pink and I love it. My only problem is that influencers keep taking photos in front of it. Today I sit and had to wait in my car for 10 minutes until two women finally finished up fake laughing at a camera.
Ugh. These influencers are the scum of the earth.
See, I think it's on you. You can't make a photogenic house. Like, you don't...
It's okay to have a sexy house.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I think she needs...
That's allowed.
I think she needs to make it sexier to prevent people from taking pictures in front of it.
Like, oh, okay.
Just paint a giant penis on the front of the house.
On the front door.
No one will want to take a picture. Actually,
yeah, I mean, if I saw that, I'd probably pull over.
A giant penis house?
I'd probably pull over.
Yeah, I probably would,
now that
too.
I'm thinking about it.
I probably
that'd
would,
be
too.
A pretty sweet selfie. If anybody has a house like that, let me know. Hit my line, DM me, or hit my line, and I will...
I think I might know my first renovation with my new home.
I'll help.
Giant penis on the wall.
I'll come over there. Yeah, I'll get the paint rollers, the whole deal. We'll wear, like, the all-white overalls. We'll do that thing right. Primer, the whole thing. We'll seal it.
Maybe just, like, a bunch of curse words. Just put just a crap ton of curse words
See,
on the
See, I go
wall.
A different direction.
Okay.
I don't blame... Don't blame the house for being pretty.
I'm trying not to,
what
but
you
I'm
do,
trying to find a preventive measure.
It is your property. Mm-hmm. I don't know the rules, and you said this is Wales. Yeah, I don't know what they got going on over there. But if this was me, and they were stepping onto my property line, I would have to make sure. I'm sitting on the front porch with a paintball gun.
Yeah, there's no front porch. It's a downtown house.
That's it's a downtown house.
Yeah, it's connected to like houses and houses and houses with just a sidewalk in front of it.
Window? There is a window. Yep, you're sniper. I would be like the guy from Saving Private Ryan. I would have a cigarette. I don't even smoke, but I would have one, and I would lay it carefully on the windowsill, and then just pepper these little influencers with paintballs.
I say you put like super glue on the wall. So
when they put
like,
their hand,
or yeah, so they put their hand. And
are they touching
stuck to
the house?
Or like, I mean, I'm sure they're leaning up against it, God. Like taking a picture on the wall. Like,
yeah, that
you
would
normally lean up against a wall. Are you going to tell me that you're going to get offended by someone touching your home?
Yes. Don't be leaning on my house. Get out of here.
You could knock it over.
This is my house. Do not touch my house. Is that crazy? I don't want anyone touching my house.
No, I
that's
agree.
Fair.
If someone came out of their way and walked up to your apartment and poked the wall, like, yes, I would understand. I wouldn't be overly offended, but like I could understand how that's weird. And
I'd be like, hey, yeah, I wouldn't like fight them, but I'd be like, hey, man, don't touch my house.
What are you doing? If you're living downtown where people are just walking,
right? Like, I guess that's fair.
And someone's just like leaning up against your wall, waiting for like someone right. to catch up. Like I'm a fast
different
walker.
Scenario.
Yeah.
Sure.
Different strokes
in
for different
my,
folks.
In my head the entire time, I was thinking like quaint little European town, and it's like on a windy little street.
No.
Okay. I had a completely different headspace. I thought people were, it's still bad. Now, water hose, I don't even know if you have a water hose. You're in a city. Bucket of water would be good. Baseball bat.
Yeah.
Silly string.
Assault.
Silly string.
I don't hate it. I'm trying to think of something you could like put on the house.
Spikes.
Like, what do influencers not like? Like, real jobs? Like you put a now hiring sign in front of it so they would avoid it?
What you do is you put a grid, okay? Goes, you take lines, and you put them straight up and down all along the front of your house so that whenever they take these pictures, they can't edit them because the lines will be moved.
I got you.
They'll be squiggly. These influencers, they're always Photoshopping and, you know, making
their waist a little bit smaller.
Smaller muscles, bigger, whatever.
I like that. I like that idea.
You'd be able to see it. They stay away from anything with a straight line. If you look, it's like, you know, like the sky or like something, you know, one solid color. You can't really tell.
I think I've come up with it.
Okay.
Just, I mean, I don't want to speak for all women here, but I'm going to have to go ahead and do it because I have long hair. I told you the story of me,
yep.
Michael Scotting myself.
You are Michael Scott.
I accidentally put a pair of female pants on. Looks fantastic. But
dress pants, too. Like, it's Michael Scott.
Yeah,
no back pockets, the whole deal.
Oh, it even had the tag that said mysterious on the inside of it and everything. No, but I looked phenomenal. Ass was looking.
You got it out of a bin.
Oh, it was popping.
Right.
But. So I feel like I can technically speak for all women as I look good in women's pants and I have long hair. So I'll go ahead and say
close
I can
enough,
speak
yeah.
for all women. Many women are particular about their weight. Like one of the main things you can't ask a woman.
Most people are.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. But like most women are particular about their weight. So I would say like just put a giant arrow pointing down with just whalish woman. Because you're in Wales, so it is a whalish woman. But
is that a whalish? Is that what they call? I thought it was Welsh.
You could be right, but just stick with it.
Not
for
a
whale-ish. Sake of the joke.
Whale-ish.
Like a kind of like a whale woman.
Right.
And I don't think anybody would be taking pictures with an arrow pointing down at him calling him a whale-ish.
Right. I like that. I'm still on board with possibly in the winter, what you got to do is you start pouring a bucket of water out there.
Yeah.
So it just turns to ice.
I like
and
that.
And then they just slide away. They can't get in front of, they can't stay still. They're shifting down the street, you know, they can't stay still.
I like that.
The
like
pictures
that.
Would just be blurry. You know?
That would be very funny. That would be
I think
funny.
That'd be a good idea, maybe.
The more I think about it, the more I think you are correct in Welsh. I think Whalish is actually referring
I've heard
to,
Welsh, and I never really thought about it.
I think it is Welsh. I think Whalish is referring to the women in San Antonio.
Like a Welshman?
Yeah.
That sounds, yeah. I took history class in college, man. You know, I have a grip on this whole, you know, geo... political atmosphere
yeah.
we got going on here.
Yeah.
I know what's up. I know who's who.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of weight and comments about weight, did you see slim down Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, he looks good. You know, he got a little lackadaisical in his time in Boca Raton. Then he went to Mississippi and changed his ways.
But he got skinny. He had a quote.
Looks good.
He lost 30 pounds. How?
That's a big deal.
Not eating, apparently. He said, I stopped eating and I'm going to start again when we play good defense. Hey, Lane, my culture is not your costume. As a skinny man, as the head of Stick Gang Mafia itself, this is atrocious, disgusting behavior to make fun of the aspect of being skinny. Like it's just a natural choice. Like you can just choose to lose weight. Like that's a possibility.
It's not right.
It's despicable.
It's gross.
It's despicable.
I believe, you know, I don't think someone like that should be allowed to have a platform such as a SEC head coach.
Unless it's at Tennessee, no.
You know, we, you know, I just, it doesn't look good on, you know, Lane to be out like, there coaching for Ole Miss and you know, just being disrespectful.
Take Lane Kiffin out of the equation because Lane kind of gets away with some things. He's a he's a Twitter troll as a coach. Like there was a funny graphic that said tweets too much, probably will tweet this. Like dude, people like him. Like I'll say that. People like him. He can really say whatever he wants and gets away
people
with
going.
It. Imagine if I lost 30 pounds.
That'd be scary.
Exactly.
I
like if I lost 30 pounds, I might die. That's that's terrible job by Lane Kiffin to encourage this type of behavior to just stop eating. That's unhealthy.
You at you at 30 pounds less than what you are right now. I'm scared of.
I think I might just be 30 pounds.
You might be a skeleton man. it would like honestly, I don't think I would recognize you, and I would just run away.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I would keep all my like I don't have a fat face by any means, but my face is the fattest part of my body.
Right, okay. So you think you would maintain your face?
Yeah, I think my cheeks would stay chubbed, but okay. Everything else would probably relinquish in chubbage.
Yeah, it's not nice of Lane.
Speaking of words,
he should have gave that 30 pounds
with,
to you.
100%. I would have appreciated that. What's 30 pounds in U.S. dollars? Like how's the conversion rate out?
I'm going to say like 28 bucks.
Okay. It's not bad. But speaking of weight descriptors, Josh Heupel made me laugh out loud when he used the word girth unironically. Very, very funny. He was talking about the offensive lineman.
We need girth.
Said we need a lot of girth on the up front.
I agree.
100%.
I agree.
Get it girthy.
Thick. I like that mentality. I did notice today that he made a point to say that just jumping back there, I know we were kind of done with media day, but it kind of
that's how our show works.
Kind of just hit me here, but I did like the way he made a point to be like, hey, you know, it's kind of he called it a misnomer, you know, about his offense being you know pass first, and it was asked about the run game and how that would fit into his offense and stuff like that, and he called his offense a run first offense, that he wants to have an offensive line and establish the run. And by his definition, he called it a run-first offense. So I like the prospects that we are going to, you know, not – we don't need to go from one extreme to the other of just one-dimensional to one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that he wants to be dynamic and he wants to get the run game involved. He also mentioned tight ends. I'm really, really liking – in little tiny little nuggets, little pieces about his offensive philosophy – I'm getting a little more confident each day.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to put in a little thing, a huge deja vu right now, sitting here speaking to you, and then on the screen in the second at bat of the day in the Reds game. Sorry for those didn't know. We're watching the Reds game.
Oh, let's go.
Pete Alonso, for the second day in a row, has taken a ball yard in the first inning. Watched it. I mean, he crushed it. Pete Alonso is on a tear right now. I think the home run derby actually made Pete Alonso better. I think it made him more confident that he can just hit bombs.
I think I agree.
He hit
you.
It to the same spot yesterday. Exactly. Actually, that one was deeper.
I love the Mets, dude. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't hate the Reds. Like I do troll the Reds, but I have nothing against them other than it's just an easy insult to you guys, like
right,
you and Foley.
Sure.
So like that's the only reason I trash them. I'm wearing a White Sox T-shirt. The White Sox and the Mets are the only real two teams I care about. They're just very entertaining fan bases and very, very entertaining teams. Pete Alonso is hilarious, too.
He's very good.
Yeah, he's
pretty
good
too
at that
good.
Baseball thing.
And he's one of those guys that just looks like a guy you know. I mean, he's very big, mm-hmm. like just like physically, but he's not some jacked, you know, specimen-looking guy.
No, there's the
he looks like
that
a guy you know.
Yeah, there was the picture that went viral of him chubbed up, speaking of being chubby.
Chubbed up.
He was chubbed up when he took his shirt off after a walk-off that one time. I don't remember what walk-off it was, but the picture was going viral of like, this is Pete Alonso. This
he's
is
just a guy
man.
Out
exactly.
here hitting dingers.
Exactly.
And yeah, I watched him just hit that bomb against the Reds for the second day in a row. Watched it happen. About the exact same time, I would like to know to the minute, when he hit it yesterday. And I couldn't help but just go, wow, that was cool. I mean, he made it look effortless. His swing, everything is so smooth, and he makes fluid contact with the ball almost every time he wants to.
Where's Castellanos? Is he injured or just not in the lineup?
Not in the lineup. Okay. He's been nursing back an injury. He actually played last night in right field.
That's what I thought. I thought he came in.
That's
why I was confused.
That was the first action he's seen in about a week and a half.
Okay, that makes sense. But yeah. I remember
he heard it not last series, but the series before.
Did he play in the All-Star game, though?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I believe so.
All-star break. Baseball just is so fast-paced, just playing every day, that I get lost in the season very easily if I'm not paying attention.
Yeah.
Speaking of baseball, though, did you see where the A's, Oakland City Council, voted yes to approve a non-binding development agreement for the Howard Terminal Ballpark project? But the A's president, Dave Cavall, says the current proposal is, quote, not an effective path forward.
Oh, okay. So the A's in Nashville, still alive.
Yeah.
I like to hear that because this isn't going to be a one-year thing for me, I don't believe. I have MLB fever really bad, and said it before, say it again. I would go to like 15 games a year in Nashville.
I think I might tag on to one.
It would be very cool. It would be very, very cool to just to have another professional team in the state. One, a professional team close to us would be very nice. I mean, relatively, you know. I mean, Nashville's a whole hell of a lot closer than Memphis.
Yeah.
I mean,
for sure.
I can't drive to go see a Grizzlies game and be back that night, you know.
No, you're gonna have to go wait until they play in Charlotte or Atlanta.
Exactly.
And travel to see them there.
Yeah, I've not ever seen a pro team in my own state. I've never been to a Titans game, but I would like to see a baseball team.
I've been to a Titans game. Handful of them.
I plan on going to one this year. I'm excited about it.
Fair enough.
It'll be good. But I want pro teams in the state. I want all of them. I need a baseball team. I want to finish. That would be every sport, correct? Football, hockey, baseball, basketball.
Yeah, technically.
We need it. We need a baseball team.
Would you rather? Let's take a page out of Matthew's book real quick before
Matthew.
This break. Just a quick answer, because I think I already know the answer. Would you rather have Tennessee? I won't promise any national titles. I won't promise any actual trophies or anything. But Tennessee reinstates themselves as a top 25 program in college football. No national championships. Okay. You don't know where you're ranking in that top 25.
What time period is this?
For the next 10 years.
10?
Sure.
We're for sure in the top 25.
You end the season in the top 25. You have no idea what position in the top 25. Every year for the
every
next
year.
10.
Okay.
So that could be a couple of 8-3
so
seasons or something like that.
Okay.
But you're a solid team.
Okay.
Or would you rather have a baseball team in Nashville? I think it's a very easy answer, but the way you were romanticizing the idea of having that fourth major sport in Nashville, a fourth pro sport, if you will, in Nashville, I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
And me taking the baseball team doesn't affect football at all?
No. Football just plays out.
Just a roll of the dice?
Yeah.
Give me the baseball team.
Fair enough.
The baseball team. Because
that's not what I was expecting, but I can understand
because
your answer.
In a 10-year span, I mean, as of right now, in my mind, there's no feasible way we would become one of those. I mean, unless this is magic and we would automatically become that. I mean, at least for 3 years. Mm-hmm. At least two. Two would be an insane rebuild akin to, you know, what some people have done amazingly. Josh Heupel would have himself here for a good little minute if he can do something like that in 2 years. Butch did it, and we see how things can go. But I just think that, you know, no matter what, this is going to be a long process. And I think within 10 years, surely Tennessee can, you know, if everything goes without another tragedy, I hope maybe things can be good for us. It's very possible that we do that.
Knocking on wood.
It's very possible that we become a team like that, back in the top 25, you know, every year competing. The baseball team, that's very interesting to me. I would like that
a lot. It's fair. I don't think a lot of people agree with you, but
that's fine.
I do appreciate your honesty.
It might make people mad, but I'm saying this because I believe that we can do that without the magic.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
It's confidence, people.
Talk
some fake,
more.
But
Talk. Go ahead.
It's fake.
It's just
false confidence.
Fair enough.
Probably won't happen.
Talk more baseball next. Don't go anywhere. Over time, Fan and Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the Fan Run Radio Studios. It's Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys going up until 8 p.m. like always. Like I said, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here live from the Fan Run Radio Studios. And Tucker, history will be made for the first time. An all-female crew will broadcast a Major League Baseball game. Thoughts? Not them, but your thoughts on the situation.
Cool. You know, I think that's neat. That's a cool thing, you mm-hmm. know. Good for them. What team? What game?
I believe. Ooh, good question. Tampa Bay and the Orioles.
Okay.
So it'll be Orioles Rays.
All right. Good for them.
Mm-hmm. The on-air
what
crew
do you think, Will?
Of the Major League Baseball broadcasters will be making sportscasting history on Tuesday night when, for the first time, a team of exclusively women will provide the coverage. Before I get into my jokes and stuff, just let me get the names out there, give these people the proper praise they deserve
right.
before I get real sarcastic on their ass.
Okay.
Melanie Newman, broadcaster for the Baltimore Orioles, will handle the play-by-play duties.
Shout out.
Sarah Langs will provide analysis, and Alana Rizzo will handle the on-field reporting duties for the game between the Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays.
Shout
out. The pre- and post-game shows will be hosted by Heidi Watney and Lauren
Heidi
Gardner.
Watney's pretty good. I know Heidi Watney.
I don't know any of these names. I'm not a baseball guy. But I'm
Heidi Watney is in the show, I believe. You've seen Heidi Watney.
Guarantee you I haven't. I play the video game on mute.
Oh, okay.
Is her voice in it?
I mean, her face and voice. And,
I haven't seen her.
I'm pretty sure she's on that game. Either way, fair she enough. Does a great job.
I'm sure. I'm sure she does, and I'm sure she'll do a great job tonight along with all the other women. Newman told NPR, we were the kids that wanted to pay attention. We wanted to know everything and be a part of everything and ask as many questions as we could. She says when playing the sports didn't pan out, she started writing and talking about them instead. I mean,
yeah.
We're exactly like that.
Right there with you.
Exactly.
Chief. It was the day, I remember, I was like, I'm not going to go to the NFL, huh?
I guess I got to learn how to read and write.
I was like, dang it. I had put all that stuff off.
Newman paid her dues as a minor league announcer, finally getting quote unquote called up to the majors last year. The broadcasting of ball games have been dominated by men, though women have increasingly been in the mix for several years. Newman also said, we're not alone in saying that it's surprising that it's taken this long for it to open up a little bit more in terms of diversity. It's crazy that we're still doing all of these first, Newman says. I feel like that's been most of my career, has been first female this, first female that. But the good thing about it is that we're not the
nice,
last.
Sick humble brag right there. I just feel like my whole career I've just been the first to do everything. I'm a pioneer. I'm amazing. God, I'm getting sick of it, you know? I get what she's saying. I just thought that was funny.
But I guess broadcasting is a natural career, you know, because women be talking.
They do. They do that, yeah. They speak.
They do be talking.
They do be talking. We do be talking, though, too.
Yeah, no, like
we're living in a glass house here.
Oh, but let me throw the stones. Let me go right ahead.
You got a bucket full.
I got a whole bucket full.
Go ahead. Throw your arm out.
No, I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be the first broadcast sponsored by a Pinot Grigio company instead of, like, Miller Lite or something.
Okay, good, good. Okay, solid fart. Solid start. You know, solid first joke. Okay. Okay. I'll try to say. Oh, Will's done. I'll turn your mic off for a second. Oh, I did not mean to say fart, ladies and gentlemen.
You
I apologize.
Can't say that on air.
I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Cover your children's ears. I did not mean to say that on live radio.
I forgot all my jokes. you threw me off my path. I had so many.
I'll let you get one out.
I had so many ready, and then you.
Man, you gotta watch
I mean,
out.
That
saying
fart, that fart, you stuck up on me. It caught me off guard a little bit.
That one was not silent, but it was deadly.
I was not expecting that one. I mean, it is very funny to make jokes, and you can be as sarcastic as possible. But it is nice to be sarcastic and make a joke about, like, the humble brag. Like, yes, that is a very funny statement of, like, oh, sick flex, you're the first for everything. But her statement does carry weight of, like...
It feels late for that.
Exactly. Like, it is a little weird for, like, if you're going through your career to be the first for everything as a woman in the year 2021. Mm-hmm. Like, I can understand how that would be fairly odd.
Because you kind of think, you know, as long as time has been a thing or mm-hmm. whatever, you'd think most things have been done, you know. I would think, you know, on average or, you know, percentage-wise, I would say almost everything has been done.
Well, do you remember the U.S. Patent Service in, like, 1930 came out with, like, this has to be the coldest take of all time.
Oh,
but in 1930, the U.S. Patent Service, the leader of it said, everything that's going to be invented has been invented so far.
Woo Buddy.
In 1930.
What an idiot. How, I wonder how old he was. Like, I'd like to know how long, when that guy died and was like, phew. I mean, he had to wait like 5 years.
I think
and was like,
he saw sliced bread and was like, all right, this is it.
Whoa. Hold on a minute.
Betty White is older than sliced bread?
Yeah, it did, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's the coolest thing since before sliced bread.
Yep, she is. But no, I think it's a very cool thing, though, to have an all-women's broadcast. I'll be interested to see where you can actually view that. Do you know if that's going to be on, like, the main network, if there's a secondary service?
I doubt that.
I answered my own question.
It'll be on MLB Network, I'm sure.
It will not. You can watch Newman and her colleagues make history Tuesday tonight on MLB Game of the Week live on YouTube. So there'll be
so
the
it's
YouTube
the,
TV
the,
guys.
It's the free game of the week.
Yeah.
So it's still the network. Mm-hmm. It's just the free game.
Fair enough.
So you do not need a subscription. Everybody, you can watch that game. Who's playing the Rays and the Orioles?
Yeah.
Probably not going to be a great game. tough that it had to be those two teams, the Orioles. But shout out to the Orioles for having an all-female broadcast crew. That's pretty neat.
Good news is
it's the YouTube crew.
I don't remember what the dude's name was, but that Tokyo committee guy, looks like they figured it out. Instead of having women talk too much in meetings, just put them on a broadcast booth and let them talk their heads off.
Just get it all out.
Baseball is the perfect sport for, like, if you do have, even regardless of, like, obviously the sarcastic sexist comments of talking too much, but, like, anybody who talks too much, like me, I think I would be a perfect...
Me and you would kill a baseball.
Because we...
We just don't shut up.
Exactly.
We could fill in those silences pretty easily.
100%.
I would say fart on the air. I mean, it, you know, get
most
lull.
Of it would just be us laughing. Like,
yeah,
that's a lot of it.
Yeah, we like a good portion of the broadcast would just be that little like clicking noise when you can't make any.
Exactly.
Yeah, we would sound like seals. Oh, it would be cool. Can we like reach out to? There's like some small minor league teams in this area. We need to be the broadcast crew. I think we'd do a great job.
Why don't we just show up and broadcast our game ourselves?
Ah, they'd kick you out. I think they'd kick
you
out.
Really think?
I mean, if we had, you know how they sell those tiny microphones, like the little bitty ones?
Yeah, the lapel ones? Or like the ones that plug into a phone?
The ones that like plug into a phone. Yeah. I think we get a one of those splitters, plug it into a phone, put it between us, each have a tiny microphone, and we sit in the bleachers and we call a game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just record it like a podcast and then just like...
No, we do it live. Oh, just we'd have to just open Periscope. You just see our chins and our noses and we'd just call the game because we couldn't... We could find a way. But I want to do that. I feel like we would do amazing.
That would be fun. I think that would be really fun. We should just show up to like random high school games and commentate them.
Let's do that. That wouldn't be weird.
Not at all.
Two grown men talking one and a half men one and a half men talking into microphones at a local high school football game. Yeah, we wouldn't look like weirdos. No, it's for our podcast.
Stinky and Skinny show up to West High School.
Stinky and Skinny. The Stinky and Skinny Show?
That's not bad.
Is that our podcast?
Stinky and Skinny Co.
I like that. Is that our podcast name?
Write that down. We might probably workshop it a little bit
Nobody
more.
Nobody take
not
that.
Live on air.
Nobody take that.
Well, no one else is a combo of a smelly person and a skinny person.
You don't know.
You're probably a good point right there.
You just blew it.
Lane Kiffin is in one person now, skinny and smelly. Did you see where the wife of World Series MVP, Ben Zobrist, is back in the news?
What'd she do?
She's seeking $4 million in the divorce of the ex-MLB player. And the ex-MLB player also says that she coaxed him into returning to the game. The messy details of the divorce proceedings have trickled down over the past months.
I feel like $4 million's low. I feel like she's being nice. Just go ahead. I mean, how much did he make? Let's pull up his contract.
He made $78.3
million. Four?
During his 13-year baseball career, which they were married for about 10 of those years. So she was getting almost
She didn't make a lot of that money.
She also required him to play her Christian rock songs as his walk-up songs to really just like she made him do everything. Like she controlled his life. It was a very weird situation. But she is Juliana Zobrist, the wife of former Chicago Cubs star Ben Zobrist. He's a World Series MVP. 2016,
yeah,
is seeking $4 million as she claims her husband allegedly failed to, quote, preserve marital assets when he took a leave of absence from the Major League Baseball team in 2019. In court documents obtained by the Chicago Tribune on Monday, Juliana Zobrist claimed that the 2016 World Series MVP, quote, intentionally and voluntarily stopped working and went from, quote, unquote, the top of his game to giving up, which affected the household income. She reportedly is seeking an even split of marital assets. So that's why I told you to hold, because $4 million is an even split of their marital assets. Like, he doesn't have a lot going on in the terms of the marital assets department. So still that 50-50 split. And a large sum claiming the figure is the amount of money he failed to preserve by abruptly and intentionally failing to satisfy his baseball contract. My question is, when did Ben Zobrist-Weiss become his general manager?
Yeah, what do you care, lady? he wasn't making money, but it's his money.
Yeah.
I guess, they were married. I don't know how that stuff works.
It's not like she doesn't have a job or anything. She's a Christian rock star. Apparently,
yeah. She's out there, you're getting your music played in large stadiums.
He's the only reason her music was being played. I think that's why she was so upset.
Right.
He made up to or about $78.3 million during his 13-year baseball career. Mm-hmm. The former MLB player's attorney, though, Helen S. Roger, called the claim, quote, utterly absurd in a filing to the judge who is set to handle the divorce proceedings. Helen S. Rogers claimed and said that Juliana Zobrist alleged affair with former Tennessee pastor Brian Yawn, bad name, caused the outfielder, quote, extreme mental distress, and then added the singer coaxed him into returning to the Cubs, quote, rather than accepting blame for having torn her husband's heart out by having an affair with their pastor. She expected him to be able to totally focus in an elite athletic job that requires 100% of his physical and mental energy. Rogers wrote in a filing via the Chicago Tribune, quote, it is Ms. Zobrist, by having the extramarital affair and confessing the same to her husband and not disclosing the true event or extent of her affair, that caused him so much mental distress and difficulty that resulted in the inability to finish his long and very successful career in the way that he had hoped and planned for.
Yeah, no, do not give her that $4 million. Yeah. Give me that $4 million.
I feel bad.
I would put it to better use.
Ben Zobrist claimed his wife and Yawn had an affair while Yawn was their pastor at a community Bible church in Nashville. According to the paper, Yawn served as the couple's pre- and post-marital counselor.
Oh, my gosh!
He also served as Juliana's premarital sex counselor, and that he and her started talking more in 2018. And then had a sexual relationship in 2019. Yawn's wife, Robin Yawn, reportedly found a prepaid phone that the two were using to contact each other, and she alerted the former MLB player of the alleged affair, initially believing that the two were in an emotional relationship. Juliana Zobrist would later admit to having a sexual relationship in June 2020 via the divorce proceedings.
That's tough. Preacher.
It gets a little bit worse with the preacher.
It gets worse?
Yawn is also accused, the preacher, Robert Yawn, is accused of having Zobrist sign autographs, get tickets for baseball games, host events at his home, and send personal messages. This is my favorite part. Personal messages to newly baptized babies and members of the church, the paper reported. He would have Zobrist say, hey, 2016 world champion Ben Zobrist here. Congrats on getting doused by that dude who's banging my wife.
What a story.
The suit also claimed Yawn received $3,500 monthly checks from a nonprofit Zobrist founded for 2 months after he was fired as an executive director in March of 2019. Ben Zobrist is suing Yawn for $6 million in a separate case for alleged intentional infliction of emotional distress and defrauding his charity, according to the Chicago Tribune. Ben Zobrist, in May of 2019, filed for legal separation of from Juliana, alleging she has, quote, been guilty of inappropriate marital contact, according to the Tennessean. He filed for separation in Tennessee while Juliana filed for divorce in Illinois, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. Zobrist took a time of leave of absence from baseball. He rejoined the Cubs in September of 2019 and would later retire at the conclusion of the 2019 season. Juliana Zobrist, a Christian pop singer, has sung the national anthem at several Cubs games, so he got her in the door there in the past, and performed God Bless America before the 2016 World Series game at Wrigley Field.
Oh, wow.
So it's not like he didn't give her opportunities. It just sucks that no one, and I mean no one, wants to listen to Christian pop music.
Yeah, no. Cheating on him with the preacher.
As a Christian pop star. Who's more at fault, the preacher or the wife?
Zobrist, for not getting out a long time ago.
It's fair. Sir, he went from World Series MVP to World Series SIMP real quick.
Big time.
Big time.
Oh, my gosh. What a situation.
What a situation. A little Olympics news here. Poland, error, forces six swimmers to leave Tokyo in a nightmare situation.
What happened?
Six swimmers who thought they were going to represent Poland at the Olympic Games this month were sent home after an oversight allowed them to get to Tokyo as a part of the team. Not even going to try to read the six players' names. I apologize. But they were identified as the swimmers who were sent home after being told they were part of the Olympic team. According to Reuters, the Poland Swimming Federation, PZP, sent 23 swimmers to Japan, but were forced to cut the roster down to 17 based on qualifying rules. PZP, that sounds like a drug. President, yep. Not even going to try to pronounce his name. I apologize. Wouldn't. He apologized for the administration error. I greatly express regret, sadness, and bitterness about the situation related to the qualification of our swimmers for the Olympic Games in Tokyo. Such a situation should not take place, and the reaction of the swimmers, their emotions, and the attack on the Polish Swimming Federation is understandable to me and justified. I just wanted to bring this story up because, A, it kind of sucks for these guys who are getting kicked off the team, but yeah. Also, that's how you handle a situation where people are mad at you. Like, every single commissioner in the United States who does a American sport needs to take a piece of the book from the PZP manager or president. Because that is how you... Yes.
Yes.
Such a situation should not take place. The reaction of the swimmers, their emotions, and the attack on the Polish Swimming Federation is understandable to me and justified. Let their feelings be known.
Yeah.
And then... what do you call it? Rationalize. I'm looking for the specific word. But like, let their... I'm trying...
Relate?
No.
I'm not sure what you're after here, Chief.
Neither can I. But it has to do with kids and stuff. But like, make their feelings feel real.
Yeah.
I can't... That's
gonna normalize?
Maybe.
No.
It's not it. It doesn't matter.
Anyways, I like it. You know, he's saying, yeah, everybody... They're sad. People are mad. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
This was wrong. Hope they've paid to get him back home, though.
Probably.
Do you have to pay to get to the Olympics?
Probably not.
I would hope not.
Probably not. And then finally here, speaking of having to get back home, did you see where there was an Olympian who went missing?
No.
The Ugandan weightlifting team had a player go missing, but it wasn't really missing, if you will. Did you see this? Did you hear about this?
Yes, I did hear about
this. Okay, so you lied to me.
I didn't know.
Lied straight to my face.
I wouldn't say missing. I guess he was missing, but...
Ugandan weightlifter has been found after fleeing the pre-Olympics camp. The Ugandan weightlifter has been found after fleeing his pre-Olympic camp's training camp in Western Japan last week. Japanese police are currently questioning him and about where he's been and what he's been doing since he left his hotel, which is he was found in a city 100 miles away from where his hotel was. A good bit of distance. The Ugandan embassy says it is actively seized on the matter, on the runaway of the weightlifter. Apparently, he did not make the team and did not want to go back to Uganda, so instead, he left. This is the official statement from the Ugandan embassy, the Republic of Uganda, to whom it may concern. The relevant Japanese authorities are in contact with the embassy over the matter of Mr. Julius I looked this up in Google Translate. Give me a second. Sakito Tolekto, Ugandan Olympics sportsman who had gone missing from the pre-games training camp hotel in City, has been found in my pre. The embassy is working closely to with the competent Japanese authorities in Tokyo to enable him continue the Heathrow arrange a safe and secure return to Uganda as soon as tomorrow, the 21st of July. Any issues to do with the alleged abandoning from the duty he had been flown out to perform in Japan and related disappearance from the training camp will be handled appropriately upon his return to Uganda. So, feels bad, man. Left a note saying, hey, like, send my singlets and weightlifting gear back to my wife. Looks like he's being sent back to his wife, too.
Dang. That's tough. Don't you know, he wants out of he's trying to get away from something.
But at the same time, if you get found, you get found.
Yeah, I mean, he got found pretty quick,
like this is your ultimate chance. And I'm not going to pretend like I would be able to do this because I would be I'm fearful of just even living in Knoxville, nonetheless, walking out on my own in a place I'm unfamiliar in with no idea of how to speak the language.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like...
Maybe you can speak Japanese.
If you get out, you got to get out. You can't get caught. It's a little weak.
Yeah, I don't know what your plan is. I mean, you get loose. You know, you run away. Mm-hmm. You're in Japan. Let's say he doesn't speak Japanese. Doesn't know how to speak Japanese. How do you make money? How do you eat? How do you get a job? Like, how do you get a job? How do you, like, find a place to live? I'm instantly just panicked.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That would be terrifying. That I would not enjoy that one bit.
Nope. Not at all. But, you know, that's the Olympics.
Man, that'll happen sometimes.
Sometimes people just go missing. Birthday's next?
Birthday's next.
Sounds good. Birthday's next. Don't go anywhere. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. Like always, people are born and then we talk about them. Today is no different. The only thing that's different actually is the names. Tucker, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Sounds good. I think my headphones just went out because I can't hear anything.
Oh, good. Okay.
There we go. I got them back.
Awesome.
Sorry. Start with basketball players. Today in the world of basketball, we got three names that you definitely should know.
LeBron James.
No, his birthday is December 30th. Or okay. No, December 28th. My apologies.
Okay. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm trying to fix my headphones. Okay. It doesn't matter. Yeah. All right, I'm just going to take these off.
Yeah, just take those grubby little things off.
Sorry.
Let those ears breathe.
It's very... Very bad OCD, so if I can't hear myself, it throws my whole flow off.
Well, I think everyone has that.
We'll get through it. We'll get through it. July 20th, 1996, Melbourne, Australia, 25 years old today. Basketball player. We're going to start with three straight basketball players because you know all of them, and we'll get through them real quick.
Jason Tatum.
No. Terrible answer. Australian basketball player who was selected first overall in the 2016 draft by this team after spending only 1 year playing college basketball at LSU. He was named the Rookie of the Year in 2018. It is Ben Simmons.
How is that a bad guess? How is that a bad guess? Jason Tatum came into the year 1 year after him?
Jason Tatum is like right now 20. Like he is insanely young.
He's not that young. He was not 17 in the league. He is not 20 right now.
I don't think he's 20. He's like 22. He's 21. I think he's 21.
He's like 22.
Jason Tatum. Age.
Because he was 19 for
he's
a
23.
Few,
he just turned 23.
Yeah, he was 19 for a few years. I think that's what threw you off. People kept calling him 19.
Well, Jason Tatum's still 19.
He's still 19, but he's 23.
July 20th, 1975, Castle Air Force Base, California. 46 years old today. NBA sharpshooter who spent his first
Ray
seven
Allen.
Seasons. There you go.
Boom. How about that first guess? Easy. Easy money.
Yeah, it was a real challenging one. A 46-year-old sharpshooter. Okay, well, he's younger than Reggie Miller, and he's older than Stephen Curry. I wonder who it could be.
Kevin Love.
I would have said excellent outlet passer to start. July 20th, 1993, another foreign-born, kind of Australia, New Zealand. A New Zealand-born player, 28 years old, 7-foot center who made his NBA debut in 2013 with the Oklahoma City Thunder after winning a New Zealand basketball league title. And that is Steven Adams.
Yeah. The big Kiwi.
Sure.
That's what people from New Zealand are called. They're called Kiwis.
Okay.
Don't ask me why.
I don't know if you can say that.
That's just what they're called, I think.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure, man.
I don't think you're supposed to say that.
Yeah,
I know that's what they're called. I don't think you're supposed to call them that.
No.
I think that's an insult.
No. Kiwis came to mean the men of New Zealand regiments. The nickname is not thought to have originated as a reference to the physical aptitude. Yeah, it's a thing.
Okay. In my brain, I thought it was an insult. Maybe I could be wrong. July 20th, 1958, Pennsylvania passed away June 28th in 2009 at the age of 50. A loud-voiced advertising pitchman for the products of OxyClean.
Billy Mays here with another fantastic product.
It is Billy Mays.
Yeah, you said 2009, and I knew the two deaths that happened that year.
What was the other
one? They shook me up pretty bad. I believe it was Michael Jackson and Billy Mays. They both died that year. That was one of those.
I think you're right, because that was the South Park episode.
That was one of those years where everybody died.
Yeah, that in 2016, those were the...
Yeah.
And 2020.
And 2020.
When literally, everyone died.
Okay. I mean, famous people.
Yeah, the ones that are important.
People that make me sad. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I love everybody.
July 20. You literally say it at the end of the show. July 20th, 1947. Everybody. Mexico, 74 years old today. Iconic Mexican guitarist who is known for
Carlos Santana.
There you go. It's a lot of first guest type of names today.
Yeah,
it's a good day.
I like
it. It's a good day. Nope, not a wrestler you would know. Let's go back to the world of rappers. You definitely know this rapper. July 20th, 1999, Brooklyn, New York. February 19th,
Boogie
2020, he passed away at the age of 20. Brooklyn
Pop
rapper.
Smoke.
There you go. It is Pop Smoke.
Boom.
Like I said, a lot of dead people today. A very sad,
very
somber
sad day.
Happy
birthday, Pop Smoke.
July 20th, 1971, Canada. 50 years old today. Actress. Television actress best known for playing the role of Dr. Christina Yang on the hit television series Grey's Anatomy. She's also appeared in such films as The Princess Diaries, Sideways, which
is a
fantastic
film. Give me your
initials
and I'll know if I'm right.
I don't know if I can.
Is it is her last name just what her initial would be?
Yes.
Sandra Oh?
Yes, it is Sandra.
Boom, let's go.
That was better than me trying to give you the hint of her initials, I feel like. If I would have just said S.O., I think it might have challenged you a little bit more. I think you would have gotten there, though.
I watched a little bit of Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
I had a girlfriend back in high school.
Oh, wow. Sick flex.
It was
sure.
cool. Yeah, I hated that show. It's really bad. Sorry, everybody who loves that show. It's not very good.
No, it is not.
The same thing happens over and over.
Mm-hmm. July 20th, 1995, United States, 26 years old today, American football player, gained fame when he was drafted by the Seattle Seahawks in 2017. He played for UCF in college. Best known for...
That's going to be old Shaquem Griffin?
Other
Griffith?
One, his brother.
Shaquille Griffith?
Griffin. No, I'll give it to you.
Two.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you.
Where's his brother play at?
I believe Seattle as well.
I was about to say, I thought they were both in the same place.
July 20th, 1988, San Diego, California. 33 years old today, starting pitcher. Excuse me. Who was selected first overall by the Nationals in 2009.
Scherzer.
He quickly became one of the team's top pitchers and was named to his first All-Star game in the 2012 year. He was named to a World Series MVP in 2019 after helping the Nationals capture the first title ever in franchise history.
Was not Scherzer?
No, it's the other one.
Mm.
I know this name, so you should know this name.
I mean, I know that name. I watched that series pretty heavily. It's just a matter of...
SS.
SS?
S.
Ooh.
S.
I think I forgot who this guy is.
That would be one. You ready for it?
Yeah, go for it.
Steven Strasburg.
Strasburg. That's a pretty big name. Yeah. I know that name. Yeah. Yeah, I know that one.
We wouldn't be doing him if he
wasn't. Can't believe
wasn't
I forgot old Strasburg. Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty electric in that series, too.
Won the MVP.
He did.
He won the MVP. I think
that's
might
my bad,
be
everybody. It was a great day. I think I'm allowed one miss.
Oh, here we go. Do you know the man who is known as the founder of modern genetics? He demonstrated that inheritance by of certain traits in pea plants.
Hold on. That is
you're a history guy, so I figured I could maybe do this.
Well,
one.
That's science, really. But give me the
GM.
That'll be. Mendel?
Mendel is correct.
Mendeleev?
Just Mendel.
Okay.
Just Mendel. Gregor Mendel.
Yeah, Gregor Mendel. I remember that. Learned that in school.
I can't hear anything. Is the music playing?
It sure is.
Okay, then I guess that means we should probably get out of here.
We probably should.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
We love you guys.
Okay.